Father, we do thank you for the love that was displayed for us, caused the death of Christ on the cross, for the power that you raised him from the dead. We are blessed to know, oh, how he loves us. Thank you, God, for your love. Bless us now as we enter into this time of sharing the word. These are not words of mine, but words of yours. And pray, Father, that you would anoint this time together in your word. Bring some things out to us, for as we always say, as we get into the word gets into us. Help us, Father, to walk away from this place this morning convicted, changed, challenged by what you would have for us today. It's in Christ's name we pray. And everyone said amen and amen. It's Matthew's gospel this morning, Matthew's gospel chapter 4. On this Friday morning, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. And I think as we get to the final weekend here, it's almost like I feel a motto building: the few, the proud, the Sacharites, right? Few who remain for this final weekend. Jesus has come through a time of testing, a time of temptation. As we head through the scripture that we have for us later in this chapter, I want to ask you, what are you becoming as you're traveling? In other words, what are you becoming as you follow Jesus? If there's any length of time attached to our walk with Jesus, there must be in that walk a growth, a maturity that is going on in our life. We should not be the same as we were a year ago, definitely 2 years ago, and most definitely 5 years ago. I would even suggest that we shouldn't even be as different than what we came in if you came in last Friday like I did. There should always be a moving forward with Jesus. It's amazing how Jesus was led into temptation by the Spirit, not the devil. Satan met him there. And I think it does us well to realize and understand that Jesus was tested privately before his ministry went public. I believe all of us are going to go through some type of temptation and testing period, and you can't blame it all on the devil. The devil met him there, but you are going to be tested in private before your ministry becomes public. I love how Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee. That's the heading above the section in which I share with you this morning. And in verse 17 it says, from that time Jesus began to proclaim, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. That kind of sounds like someone else, doesn't it? It's the same message that his cousin was sharing, in the previous chapter. Jesus is kind of taking on that message. He had the first message. The first message was the same message: repent. And as he says, the kingdom of God has come near, it means it's here and not yet. It's a both and. The kingdom of God, which is the rule of God, the ways of God, the wisdom of God, it's here, but yet not. This was written around AD 60 AD, and so at the time of this writing, and as Jesus is depicted here of what he does next, because in verse 18 it says, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee had about 30 different fishing towns. And with fishing towns means there's a lot of boats, there's a lot of nets, which means with a lot of boats and a lot of nets, there's a lot of fishermen. And as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They were casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. And he says to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Another version says, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. It's interesting to note where Jesus went to find his first followers, his first disciples. He didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't go to Herod's courtyard. He went by into the seas. He went to a group of people that even by their trade and what they did were given away by the way they talked, their accents. They were the lower part of the economical ladder. This is who Jesus went after. I love how the Bible says he saw. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw. He not just didn't see two sons of, he saw not just two brothers. He just didn't see two fishermen with nets. He saw what they were, and he also saw what they could become. He saw their potential of what they were supposed to become. And I am so glad, I know that you must be glad too, that when he saw us, when he saw you, when he saw me, he not just saw where we were, but he saw our potential. He saw what we could become. I'm so thankful that he just didn't see a stutterer when he saw me. But he said, if I could just have you, I'm so thankful that when someone was strung out on drugs, an alcoholic, he saw you. He saw you in your present dilemma, but he also saw what could become of you, your potential. He sees us. He knows all about us. And if I'm the only one that's going to get excited about that this morning, I'll preach it. Well, I'm going to preach it anyway. I'm thankful that he saw me. Notice who he calls. They were fishermen. These were hard workers. There's a work ethic involved in being a fisherman in Jesus' day. They don't give up too easily. They know how late it must get sometimes if you're going to stay out and get the catch. You have to go by normal timings. You can't go by the standard of everybody else's job. You've got to do what you have to do. Jesus knows the virtues inside of you that is going to be needed for the kingdom to follow him. When he says to them, "Follow me," there's no context. There's no "follow me because we're about to head to." "Follow me, we are going to do this. Follow me, and when we get there," it wasn't any of that. It wasn't any plans being made out publicly. It was just him coming by. They knew who he was, according to John already. They knew who Jesus was. In the fact of a rabbi, a teacher. But this is after Jesus' temptation. This is the start of his earthly ministry. And he's finding his first disciples, and he calls to them. He sees two brothers, and he says to them, "Follow me." You know what that means? Don't follow anything else. Follow me. Before anything else, follow me. Get close to me. Understand me. Love me. This is what Jesus is saying. The closer that you get to him, the more he transforms your heart. That's why before anything else, you follow him. Some people will follow everything but him. And may even say some churches may do everything except follow him. Why are we doing ministry with no prayer life? Follow me, he says, before you do anything else. We've got to understand this better. He called them to himself first. You follow him by faith. As you follow him, notice what he says. "I will make you." Yeah, we're breaking it down a little bit here this morning. He saw, "Follow me, I will make you." This "I will make you" implies a process. This is something that we are involved in now. While you are living, while you are following me, I will develop, I will make you. Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your paths. It implies a process. And here's the great thing is if I am following, I am also becoming. And the evidence of my transformation is not chronological. No, I've been transformed. I have been saved 30 years. No. It is that I am a different person now. Now. Not living on the past, not living on what he has done, but what he is currently doing in my life. I feel like there's sometimes we have this backwards. Now, I mentioned earlier in the week, I've pastored some great churches. My longest tenure was 10 years. Nearly 7 in another place. And you always have some good people who come up to you and say, Pastor, I think... and then that's when I know there's trouble. Because they've been thinking. Doesn't mention praying. Or I feel led by the Lord. No, I've been thinking... I think, I want, I wish. Pastor, I really believe we ought to start this ministry. Well, that's great. Yeah, you're the one, Pastor, that needs to start it. You're the pastor. No, wait a minute. I believe God's been speaking to you about that. And now you're trying to dump it off on me. Because God hasn't been speaking to me about this ministry. He's been speaking to you about this ministry. I think you're the one that needs to start the ministry. You're the one God's been speaking to. Oh, no. Or we will start a ministry. And if it doesn't go the way we... planned it, the way we think it should be going, we base it on the number of people coming, whether it's not connecting or not, and we don't give it long enough, and we stop it, or we'll start something and get it going, and then we ask God to bless it. We got this backwards. When he says, follow me, it means we stop our own stuff and follow him and what he wants. That's where we are dictated to of what ministry, what schedule we're going to have. It's about him, not about me. If it's about me, it means I'm in control and you gave up control. You're no longer in control. So I had a dear lady come to me and one of our pastorates and say, I believe we ought to start a ministry to those people in our congregation who have lost their spouse to death. Widow and widower. And I said, well, how did you come to that? I'm kind of leading her to think out loud what I know, what I'm hoping to hear, because she had recently lost her husband. I couldn't lead that ministry. I have no idea how to identify. I mean, there's people in our church that are dealing with this. Some are suffering a great deal through this. Some have come too soon to this. I looked at her and I said, I think you're the one that God's talking to about doing this. She consented. And to my knowledge, That ministry is still going on in that church today. And that's probably been now 12 years. We can take things that we go through and wonder why this is happening to us if we're following Jesus. Because some of us think in the wrong pretense that, you know, if I'm following Jesus, everything's going to go my way. Newsflash, it's not. Amen. You know that. It's not come to Jesus and he will make everything right and will give you everything you want and you're going to live a great life after that. No, it's sometimes quite the opposite. I mean, he's talking to two fishermen here. Follow me and I will make you. And they're probably thinking, you know what? I've had enough of these nets. I have enough of these boats. I have enough of this life. This is all we've known. It's probably all we ever do. It wouldn't hurt to follow him. I think there was more than that. My friends, our trials are either to us classrooms or coffins. They're going to teach you something. And we may look at other people's lives and go, why is that happening to them? Why is it not like that for me? Or why am I going through this and they don't go through that? Well, God determines all of that. We're not guaranteed anything when he says, follow me. Peter and Andrew could have stayed fishing. That's what they know. That's what they're comfortable with. It's predictable. They know it. That's all they've been doing. But Jesus was calling them, follow me out of your comfort and into the unknown. And how did they respond to that call? Matthew uses a word used a lot by Mark. Immediately. This is amazing. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. I will make you fishermen of men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Immediately. They didn't say we need to go to a 3-day conference. They didn't say we need to have a committee meeting. They immediately follow the call of Jesus. And sometimes, my friend, we are not immediate on our call of what he wants us to do. I'll never understand that. I even have a problem, have had a problem with that. Remember my plan, 3-year plan, became the 1-year plan. Follow me means you don't have a plan. Follow me, trust me. I had a lady, one of my first churches, I thought it was a really good Sunday night service. It was about commitment, it's about getting involved. And she came to me after the service, tears welled up in her eyes, and she said, Pastor, I really feel like I need to be doing something in the church, but I'm going to put out a fleece. And I thought, oh my, not one of those. Not fleeces are bad, but I know sometimes people will hide behind a fleece and think, if this fleece works out, if it don't, there's a good chance it won't happen, and I don't have to do it. Be careful how you deal with that. But her fleece was, if I see 3 deer tonight on the way home, I know it's God. I'm thinking, I know it's God already. And you're going to put out a fleece of 3 deer? If I see 3 deer on the way home? And you know what? Curiosity got the best of me. So I called her later that night and I go, Joanne, I got to find out. How many deer you saw? Oh, yeah, I saw 9. Well, that's more, but I didn't see just 3. But you saw triple. God usually gives you a double portion. Well, she ended up doing what God wanted her to do, thank the Lord. But notice they responded to the call immediately. And you know what Jesus is doing here? Very first get-go, very first thing he's doing. This is how Jesus, he's always bunking the system, isn't he? He's always kind of turning over the cart. He's always messing with everything. He's messing with tradition here because usually the rabbi gets chosen. I mean, the disciples will come to the rabbi and say, I want to follow you. Jesus turned that upside down, and he's the one asking people to follow him. Are you seeing this? If you got tradition, look out. Jesus is going to come mess it up. We can sometimes make things a tradition, and Jesus is totally out of it. We got to be careful there. And notice what they did. Immediately they did what? They left their nets. They left something valuable to them behind. My friends, discipleship will cost you something. It will cost you your own plans, your own dreams, your own ambitions. It will cost you relationships in some cases. It will cost you giving up things. And Jesus, since he picks up 2 right there, he keeps going. We're almost done. As he says, as he went from there, he saw 2 other brothers. James, son of Zebedee. And now remember, there's a lot of different James in the Bible. This is not the James that we may put the book of James with. It's a totally different James. That James is actually Jesus' biological brother who didn't believe in Jesus until he was resurrected. Isn't that interesting? His own brother didn't believe he was the Son of God. As he went from there, he saw 2 other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee. This is different. They're in their boat with their dad, mending their nets, and he called them. And there's that word again. Immediately, they left the boat and their father. It's not normal for sons to leave their father. They usually inherited the business. The oldest brother, of course, would get when dad dies, and then it would kind of continue to go down the line. Notice they didn't ask permission. They didn't ask approval. And sometimes when you're called by Jesus to follow him, it may cost you family. Who don't understand your call, who knew you when you were, and can't see you now as, and they will try to remind you of your past, to shed some light on this revelation that you've gotten, and you are made fun of, and you are ridiculed. But no family approval to follow. They just had courage. And the call of the master was greater than any tradition of the family. It's not that they were disrespecting their father that or dishonoring him. That wasn't all, and not at all. They were bound to the call. And when Jesus comes beside you to this day and says, follow me in this. Follow me as we are going along. Follow me. It's one of those things as he says, follow me and I will make you. I feel like it even this morning as I am following Jesus, he is still in the process of making me. When I go through things, I don't feel like it's punishment. I feel like sometimes it's the Lord shaving off the rough edges of my life, making me more into the image of him. We broke down these verses this morning. He saw. He said, follow me, and I will make you. Immediately, they left their comfort. Nets followed him. James, John, brothers, sons of Zebedee, they left dad in the boat with the nets to follow Jesus. My friend, following Jesus is not a life of comfort or luxury. But it is life. Because Jesus said, I am the life, the truth, and the way. We trust and obey, for there's no other way. Follow him. Don't put it off, whatever it is, don't put it off. Immediately trust in him, follow him in that. But don't go about this your own way. You have died out to your way, to your will. And now it's all about him. It's all about him. You gonna sing? Father, we thank you for going on to that shore today in the Sea of Galilee. As Jesus walks by these young men and says two words that literally would change the trajectory of their life. Follow me. I believe that's two words we hear in our life. I pray that we don't take this for granted, of how you speak to your people. It's follow. Follow me. We are disciples. We are Christ followers. It's not our way. It's not our will. We have dropped our nets. We have left what's comfortable. And maybe even some family and good friends who just don't understand and get it. But oh, how we pray you would use us to not just influence this culture for you, but to show them and live in front of and tell them about Jesus. It's amazing how on social media now, Father, we can just unfollow somebody. I pray we never unfollow you. I pray our walk is closer than it ever has been, especially since we came in last week, and as we're still here, and as we're closing out this camp in very few hours from now, may we have grown in this following, in this relationship with you. My friend, if you want to come and pray this morning, however you want to receive that, you want to respond to God's word, we have an opportunity this morning if you want to come and pray as we sing. You come. We'll have a closing word together.